the Richard Clark affair. There is perhaps one thing more explosive than the damning revelations of former White House counterterrorism chief Richard Clark, and that is the White House's response to him. With venom barely distinguishable from their attacks launched a year ago against the Saddam regime, the White House has tried mightily to paint a 30-year government bureaucrat as a knave, a traitor, an incompetent, or a fool. I may be off the mark, but the last time I saw something faintly similar to this was during the Nixon regime, when a presidential assistant named John Dean gave up the tapes on his boss. Is this Watergate? Hardly. Yet it is a dangerous attack on the inner workings of the White House, on an issue that just weeks ago seemed like a surefire vote-getter for President George W. Bush, his handling of the so-called war on terrorism. If Clark does anything, he shows that the White House, at the highest levels, was fixated, obsessed even, on the eradication of the Iraqi regime, an event that Clark says is bound to make the war harder in the long run by playing into the hands of the jihadis like Al-Qaeda, who have long preached that the Americans would do anything to conquer the oil-rich Arab states to get their hands on the black gold beneath. White House attacks on Clark have come with a vehemence that is breathtaking. He is derided as a partisan who, they suggest, is a closet supporter of the Democratic presidential challenger, John Kerry. Or he wants to get rich with a juicy book deal. And as usual, the media, ever hungry for the latest scandal, is eating it up, lapping it up like a kitten on a saucer of milk. Lost in the sauce is logic. If Clark is anything, he is and seems to have ever been a right-wing hawk. He advocated the bombing of Afghanistani bases, all of them, long before 9/11. He advocated the Israeli practice of preemptive killings, they call them assassinations in other places in the world, of suspected jihadis all around the world. This guy at base is a right-wing nationalist who has advocated actions that several administrations, including, it seems, the first Bush presidency, have declined to do. The idea that he is somehow sweet on Kerry seems, on its face, ludicrous. And book deals are hardly the way to make big bucks. The average royalty covers little more than 10% of the cost. And there's a slump in the industry, largely driven by the larger slump in the nation's economy. If Richard Clark did not make nor invest a decent coin in 30 years of government service, sometimes at very high levels, then it is the government that is to be condemned for not rewarding such lengths of public service, certainly not Mr. Clark. What Clark confirms, however, is condemnation, indeed. The White House, driven by the demon of ideology, drove the nation to war on a lie. Is the nation safe? Indeed, is any nation? The Bush regime has unleashed something that is remarkably resistant to cluster bombs and daisy cutters and even low-grade nukes. Hatred. Deep and bitter at the nations that have used false pretenses to wage war and humiliate an Arab state. Iraq was never the problem, and as its feeble resistance proved, it was never a threat to the U.S. A year before the war, California's right-wing Democrat House member Tom Lantos told members of the Israeli Knesset, quote, "We'll be rid of the bastard," referring to Saddam, "soon enough. And in his place, we'll install a pro-Western dictator who will be good for us and for you," unquote. You still think this war is in defense of democracy? Hardly. It never was. It never will be. Armies don't bring democracies. They smother them. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.